Oh, that's right. We're right here, Sharp Facets Gallery. I'm Ann Eller, right here with you this afternoon. And my very special guest, the former mayor of Greenwood, South Carolina, now senator for the great state of South Carolina, the one and only Floyd Nicholson. How you doing today, Floyd?
I'm doing great, Ann, and I hope you're doing well. I can tell by that beautiful smile you're always doing well. And congratulations on the good news you just told me a few minutes ago.
We'll see if we end up doing on that, but should be something exciting. Yeah.
Oh, it will be exciting, and they always know that you're the best, so that's why you constantly keep getting the awards.
Well,
congratulations.
Thank you very much, Floyd. Thank you very much. So, you just finished up session back there in June.
Yes.
How does it feel to have freedom?
It feels great because, you know, it was a long session. You know, when you travel back and forth and everything, sometime getting home late at night, you'll be glad for that last day so you can get a little break and a little relief, and nothing like being home where you can spend time in the district, going, doing things in the district, you know, and seeing what needs to be done and doing whatever you can to help people in the district.
Well, I know you told me you'd been over there to Calhoun Falls for a ceremony, and then you got to go back to Abbeville tonight. That keeps you hopping.
Yes, it does, you know, but like you say, that's why I get up early in the morning to get my exercise so I can keep going and everything. But, you know, if you're going to serve, you have to be out there among the people. If it's actually to come, if it's in your power, you need to go and do whatever you can, you know, so you can listen to the people and see what their concerns are, so you can make good decisions about things that affect their lives, because that's what it's all about, serving the people and making decisions that's for the betterment of the people. I don't care what decision I make, it's not going to please everyone, but I try to be rational and think about what's best for the majority of the people.
You know, one of the things that is on the top of everybody's mind is this immigration, the open border down there in Arizona and Texas. I was actually reading an article this morning that this weekend, I think it's on Saturday, they're going to march in Greenville, Columbia, and Charleston. There's talk of them bringing, although they haven't brought any, of bringing some of these children into our state. What have you heard from your people about the immigration? Have you heard anything about what should or shouldn't be done?
No, I have heard very little, because I know that's a federal issue and everything, you know. And I haven't heard too much talk about it, you know. And I understand, you know, about the children, you know, coming over. I've watched it on the news the other day, how many are dying, you know, trying to come across the border and everything. But it really just makes you think, you know, that they are willing to sacrifice their life to try to get somewhere where they can have a better life. And, you know, I know it's a big issue, but I can't fault somebody for trying to improve their life, go somewhere where they have a better quality of life, you know. So it's a whole big issue and everything. But, you know, in the back of my mind, you know, my mind goes back years ago when it wasn't an immigration issue, it was another issue right here in our country.
Right. Well, you know, one of the interesting things, though, that kind of goes hand in hand with this is the immigration to pick the fruits, the peaches, all this type of thing. And for the farmers, it's a big problem.
It's a major problem because, you know, a few weeks ago we were going down to Savannah, went down through Edgefield, and I saw all the peaches being picked out there, and who you think was picking them and everything. When you think about all of the farming, and we're talking about buying local now, you know, we're growing our local vegetables and everything. Who are the ones that are out there harvesting these crops for the big farmers and everything, you know?
Right.
So it's a major issue, you know, because if we don't have them to do the work, how are we going to get the crops harvested and everything? So, you know, it's a really very complicated issue because, you know, we need that migrant worker labor force, you know?
Right.
So, you
know. We can only have, I think, what is it, 50,000 or something in the state of South Carolina? I think that's the number that's mandated.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, doesn't take all the big crops and everything, don't take many to accomplish, you know, 50,000.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that's very interesting, Floyd, though, and I mean, I don't have the information here in front of me, but I remember talking about this issue last year, is that the migrant workers are actually paid more than minimum wage, and they're supplied housing and transportation and all these other things. So when we talk about people won't do the work, I just wonder, if people were offered the same pay, I'll say, would that make a difference?
Yeah, see, now, you just brought something. I didn't know they were paid more than minimum wage.
Yeah.
Okay, because I know years ago now, it used to be they were paid at a piece rate, you know, and they were given housing, and then they were just like, well, I'm taking this out, taking that out, and they were not being compensated the way they should be compensated. So
yeah.
That's changed, you know. But I think, you know, regardless of who it is, if you do the work, you should be paid the same wages, you know.
Sure. Well, I just wonder if it would make a difference to people. I want to say it was either $8.75 or $9.75. I don't remember, but it was a big difference. Plus, they got room and board. Plus, they got transportation. Mm-hmm. I mean, so that was that's not a bad deal.
It's not a bad deal, and I didn't know that, you know, and I don't see how they could be paid, you know, different wages, you know, and everything. And think about it, a lot of them not citizens.
Right.
So...
How do you do that? Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
How do you do that, folks?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, they're not paying taxes and everything. So I don't understand it. You know,
I don't
like
either.
Say, I did not know they will be paid higher wages and everything. You know,
I'll have to see if I can find that article and send
right,
it to you.
Right, yeah. Okay, because that's very interesting.
It is.
Yes.
It is.
They're coming, taking jobs and being paid more when they're not legal citizens? Okay.
Yeah, okay. One of those things that kind of gets to you. And, you know, when you say that people, our people, won't do these jobs, well, if they were paid what they were being paid and the benefits, such
exactly.
as housing and transportation, would that make a difference to our
it
people?
It would make a great difference. If they were going to be paid the same wage, I think you could have a lot of people wanting to do those jobs. So why of our people that are born citizens right here paid a lesser rate than somebody who come and not a natural citizen here? I've got to look into that.
All right. I'll find that article. Yeah, I have an article on that from last year. But the budget this year was, of course, a lot of back and forth. Governor Haley vetoed a bunch of different things. And one of them that we'll talk about when we come back was the salary increase. She vetoed it. And then what happened? Everybody was standing up for it, and then they crumbled. We'll talk about it when we come back.
Thank
Don't
you.
You go away.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. Governor Haley had a heavy hand on her red pen where she vetoed a lot of things. And, you know, one of the things that got a lot of attention was the in-district expense, increasing that $1,000 a month, so that y'all got $2,000 a month, correct?
That's correct.
And, you know, I think everybody stood up for it, but when it went to Governor Haley and when it came back and she vetoed it, it just kind of fell apart. I mean, I would just like to know, does one have the courage of their convictions, or is it all about who's getting elected?
Well, I think it'll be both ways. I'm one that has the courage of my convictions of what I think is right, you know, that's what I'm going to vote for. But I think a lot of times, you know, it is about, oh, will I be reelected if I vote for this and everything, you know. But I think if you're doing the right thing and if you're serving the people, you're doing the right thing, you'll be reelected. It should not be just based upon, oh, whether people vote for what you think is right for the people.
And based on the input that you get from your constituents,
right.
isn't
right.
that it?
You know, when they talked about that increase, I think I received one call against it. Many people say, oh, I think you deserve it and everything. I know the cost of gas, you cover four counties, you got a lot of running around here, there, and everything, you know. And so, you know, I did not get a bunch of negative responses about it. You know, just one out of about 50 or 60. That,
wow.
You know, in support of it. So, you know, and I think it's something that was really needed when you think about the time. So I travel back and forth, you know, and everything. And when you think about covering four counties just like to do, I told you this morning, I was in Calhoun Falls. I came back. I had to go back to Abbeville this evening. I did have something in Saluda today, but it conflict with something else I had, you know. And especially when we're out of session, people expect you to be in their counties when they have important things going on. It's a lot of running around.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I just thought it was interesting if we could stand up before it went to Governor Haley's desk. Excuse me, Floyd. Why wouldn't you stand up for it afterwards?
Well, I guess that being election year.
Well, another question that I have.
Yes.
The roads.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get something for my throat.
Some drink.
But Governor Haley has said she will not increase the gas tax. What is your opinion on what we should do about the roads?
We need to increase the gas tax and come up with other ways of providing revenue to fix our roads. Because when you think about...
What would that be, Floyd?
Well, one thing is the gas tax, and if we need additional taxes in some form, I think we need to do it, because the longer we wait, the more cost it's going to be. And look at the effect this has. When you think about economic development, you know, we have a lot of industry in our state, right?
Yes.
Getting raw materials in and getting the finished products out, rely upon the port down at Charleston, right? You got to get it down there by trucks, right? The road, yes, and the roads are getting terrible, you know, getting things in and out. I just think we got to come up with money in the General Assembly to address this, and gas tax, I think, is one that we need to address.
Well, it really is a use tax, isn't it?
Yes, it's a use tax.
If I use it, I pay for it. If I don't use it...
If you don't drive, you don't pay. You don't buy gas. Am I right? So it's a user tax, you know. But a lot of people just saying no taxes. You cannot operate at the level, same tax level you operated 10 years ago, not even last year.
Sure.
The cost of everything else is going up.
Correct.
How are you going to generate funds for those things if you're going to operate at the same means?
Not only that, the state of South Carolina has one of the lowest gas taxes around.
I think it's about next to the bottom, the lowest, and hasn't been increased in years. And so all the vehicles, we have more roads than a lot of other states have and everything, you know, and we got to maintain those roads and everything. So we got to do something about our roads and our bridges, you know.
You know, the problem I have is that we put this money last year, I think, into the special account to use for the roads.
A drop in the bucket, yeah.
Well, a drop in the bucket, but is it even being rolled out and being used yet? Are we repairing these roads?
We're patching some of the roads.
Patching. Are we repairing?
No, very little. You know, I can't say one thing. You know, I drive 178 regular. 178 has been resurfaced from 25 all the way down to Edgeworth. And they're going to finish the other part from Edgeworth down to the Saluda line this fall. And I think the reason why I did it like that, part of money come out last year's budget, the other being this year's budget and everything. And that, because I used to ride down that road, and I think I was on a roller coaster, you know, bouncing up and down.
Sure.
And a lot of other roads need to be done, you know, but it's been projects that's been on the books for a long time that they are just now beginning to do because of the money we put in the budget last year. And like I said, it's dropping the budget. Me and my wife, we went to Charleston this past weekend. I-26, terrible. And you see all those big trucks that are going down there because they got to get down to the port, you know, and everything. And, you know, and you're talking about major money there, you know. And
we can't afford to wait. I mean, this is my point. You know, we've been waiting for going on, what, 2 years now?
Oh, longer than that. Wait. Oh, it's not the problem. Just like we said earlier, you know, it's not the right time.
Well, you know, sometimes I think you have to do something, I think one should be doing something based on the right thing to do. If it was the right thing to put in a gas tax, I think y'all should have put it in this year. I know Governor Haley was passionate about no increase in the gas tax.
She was very passionate, and when you think about the leadership, you know, in both parties, you know, the party affiliation and everything, you know, it's hard to get things on the agenda when the leadership are not going to be behind it 100% to get it even to come before the bodies and everything. And that's what we got to make sure that people, they realize, you ask everybody down there in the General Assembly, they say, yes, we got to do something about our roads. And you actually say, well, we need to increase the gas. No, we're not going to do that, but we need to do something for our roads. So, you know.
And the problem is, doesn't with the gas tax, if you did it, you'd have to implement the tax. The money would have to be collected. It goes to the federal government, and then the federal government comes back.
Yeah.
So we're still talking about a turnaround time.
It comes back with a little additional money coming from the federal government and everything. It'll be a turnaround time, but, you know, we got to do it. And I hear everybody, you ask everybody, yeah, we got to do something about our roads and bridges, but I'm not for a gas tax, you know. Why?
Well, you know, I think it's probably, to me, it's one of the most equitable taxes that there are out there. Because if you use it, if you have a very efficient gas car,
yes,
then you, and most of them are very much more efficient than they were years ago.
And see, that's another factor right there. You know, we're not getting as much. The cars today are more efficient, getting better gas mileage than the cars years ago. You used to get 10 and 12 cents, you're there pumping gas all
right.
the time. But now you're talking about cars 20, 30, and 40 miles per gallon. You're not there as much, so you're still not spending. And so we're not getting as much, even with the low gas tax, we're still not getting as much money, you know, as we used to get in the past and everything. So.
Yeah. It's very frustrating. I think it's going to make it a chicken and egg situation in our state when companies look at, we've been very fortunate. We've got some very great companies that have come in.
Mm-hmm.
But as it continues, if we do not put good roads out there, good transportation, good infrastructure, just look at the bridges.
Yes.
The bridges are becoming big problems.
They are. And like I say, those companies say, no, we're not looking at South Carolina. Their roads are terrible. We would not be able to get out of goods and everything over those terrible roads down there and everything. So, no, we're not going to look there. You know, they are not invested in their infrastructure. So we're not going to invest in South Carolina. If they start investing in their infrastructure, then we'll look at South Carolina. But, you know, if they don't do it now, we're just
going to
get...
When are they going to do it?
Exactly. We're just going to get farther and farther behind. You
and
know,
it's going to cost us more and more.
That's right. And then we're talking about, hey, we got to bring the industry in with the good jobs and everything. We're going to be losing that, you know, to North Carolina, Georgia, all other states, you know, because that are investing in the infrastructure, because infrastructure is so important, because when companies are looking to come, they want the infrastructure in place. They want good roads, you know.
Don't tell me about next year you're going to do the roads.
Oh, we got to redo the roads in 2 years. Okay, good. We'll come back in 2 years. We're going to hold off on our project, you know, until you do your roads. We're going to accommodate you.
Right.
Do you think? No, no.
Give me a break.
That's right.
Give me a break here. So, that is kind of is very bothersome. And, of course, a lot of the, I'll say the political infighting that's going on down there makes for very interesting headlines, right?
I agree. Don't want to work together.
Yeah, don't want to work together. And then we have the Attorney General going after Bobby Harrell, and you know, now that's gone to the next step. I guess Alan Wilson, the Attorney General, won, so they're going to proceed with this investigation.
Yes.
You know, and then we've got Ravenel running against Lindsey Graham. He can't even vote for himself.
But the people can vote for him.
That's right.
You know, so somebody's going to run, you know, who's not a registered voter, can't vote.
Right.
But
he couldn't even be in the Senate or the House down there in Columbia, but he can in the federal government. Explain that one to me.
Let's have a moment of silence, please.
I agree. I mean, you know, and that's not good for our state. That doesn't make us look.
Federal, I guess state.
Yeah.
Entirely different.
I know,
the rules
but still.
And everything. You know, you can't serve locally, but you can serve federally. It's, you know, and like I say, I thought for any office you ran for, you had to be a registered voter.
Right. You can't be a registered voter if you're a felon.
He's not a registered voter, right?
Right.
But he can run for office. So, you know, so on the federal level, you don't have to be a registered voter to run for office, I guess, right?
Right. I guess not. So you don't have to vote. You can just say, I want you to vote for me.
That's
Would you
right.
vote for me? Yeah.
Yes.
There you go.
But,
and on top of that, he's going to be on another episode, another season of, what is it, Charmed or something?
Yeah, the Charmed, yeah.
Yeah. Down there because it'll be good PR for him and a good platform.
Oh, yeah. He's getting PR out there, get his face out there, name out there for the election.
You know, I actually thought that they made people step down from being talk show hosts and this type of thing when you ran for office because it was an unfair platform. So I think it'll be very interesting. Not that Lindsey Graham is even going to be looking at it as far as that goes.
Right.
But it would seem that he could make a case. Well, I think you should be giving me free TV time. You're giving this guy free TV time.
Exactly. I agree totally and everything, but I guess it's just who you are.
Who you are and who you know. Hey, I'm here with the one and only Senator Floyd Nicholson. Don't you go away. We're going to join the news in progress.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Ah, that's right. How you doing here this afternoon? Floyd and I are having a spirited conversation here this afternoon. We were just talking about Ravenel running against Lindsey Graham. Was able to get, what was it, 16,000 signatures down there to Columbia to put him on the ballot.
Yes, he had to get, and they say he had those and everything. I hope they go back and make sure they check and make sure they're legitimate, too, and
yeah.
Everything. Because I know some people have gotten signatures in the past and not legitimate, so... But with the name, he probably has them.
Yeah, he probably does. And he probably, well, I wouldn't see where he could defeat Lindsey, but I think, you know, way I see where I sit, I think Lindsey just might spend some more money.
Yeah.
And that would be good for my radio
station.
You know,
I don't think he'd defeat him, but just having the opportunity to do that when you're a felon and you cannot get a voter ID card, but
right.
You can run for office.
It just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, if he win, will he be able to vote when he go to Washington?
Well, that's a question, isn't it? Yes. Will he be able to vote on the floor?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Who knows?
Interesting.
It is interesting. And, you know, but the thing I hate about it is we have such a great group from South Carolina up there in the House.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Tom Rice, Jeff Duncan, Congressman Clyburn. All of them. Mick Mulvaney had
mm-hmm.
him on the radio this
yeah,
morning and everything.
Mm-hmm. He was you did a live
yeah,
with
yeah,
him?
Yeah, we did this morning.
Okay.
We have, and Trey Gowdy
mm-hmm.
on it all the time. You know, it just, what if he did win?
The key word, if.
If,
okay.
Right, yeah, but if he did, I mean, it's just going to make us look, it's going to make us look bad in South Carolina.
Well, you know, you just watch Letterman and all the late night talk shows and see how they talk about South Carolina again.
Yeah, there you go. That's right, that's right. All right, so I think the election, particularly for governor, is going to be very interesting this year.
Yeah, I think so, too, and everything. You know, I think it's going to get... You know, I think this month and next month be sort of slow, but come September and October, you're going to hear a lot of information out there because I think it's going to be very important, you know, important election. I'm just going to encourage everybody to get out and vote. You know, let their voice be known of who they want to be as governor of our state, you know. They need, and I encourage the people to listen to what both candidates have to say and think of which one will best lead our state in the direction that they want it to go.
Yeah, it's. I mean, well, that, and then of course you have Tom Irwin,
yes,
the attorney, radio station owner, who is an independent Republican. What do you think about that title?
Yes, independent. I saw Tom. He was down 96 for their little parade and
yeah.
everything. He was in town, you know. So I just think it's interesting.
Yeah,
that's all I can say. Interesting.
Yeah, so it is going to be interesting, and
yes.
It's going to be definitely one to watch, and hopefully WCRS will get lots of advertising dollars so we can talk about all these things, too.
Oh, you know you'll get the dollars,
yeah.
And you know you always do.
Well, I'm hoping. But what were some of the other things that in last year's budget that bothered you that it went through, or you were glad to see that maybe it was overturned? What were some of the things that you...
I'll tell you one of the most important things that I was happy with was expansion of 4K.
4K?
Yeah, more money in there for 4K, you know, because, you know, if we're going to be successful in our educational system, it starts early. We got to put the money in there early for kids coming into KFO and kindergarten to make sure that when they enter first grade, they're on level. You know, so expanding our 4K program, because, you know, here District 50, they used to have the KFO program over at East End, and then they had to eliminate it because funds were cut. And I hear they're going to put that program back in. It's important that we start early, because the brain development, those first few years, is where everything is occurring, and we need to make sure that we're working with our young people to get them on level when they go to first grade, and that's going to help combat some of the dropout we have in our schools, because if kids go in first grade behind, if they go in behind and they run at the same pace the rest of them, they're going to stay behind. I worked in education many years, and I used to be in middle school and junior high, and some of the kids say, "Coach Nick, I missed two grades. I can't wait till I get 16. I said, "Why?" "So I can drop out of school." You know, and we need to combat that and curtail that, you know, and encourage kids, you know, not only just to finish high school, but to continue that education if they want to get good job. And in order to have a good job, we got to fix our roads so we can have industry coming in to provide those good jobs for our young people and everything. But I was so excited when we put it, more money in the budget for 4K, especially for our rural counties, you know, and everything. Because, you know, a lot of time we look at our urban areas, that's great. But what about the rural counties? Because those kids got to be educated too, because they're going to be competing with everybody else when they come out, you know, because a lot of the urban areas, they have the additional revenue where they could put into that educational system. But the rural area, no. And I think it's incumbent upon us as legislators to make sure that the kids in the rural areas have just as much access to stuff as the kids in the urban areas. So I was excited when we passed money, additional money for expanding 4K.
You know, I had Faye Sprouse, superintendent of schools over there in Ware Shoals.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons I had her on is when she went in front of council, she didn't ask for more money.
Mm-hmm.
She asked for more jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Because she said she would get so much more out of it if they got more jobs. And I was so impressed with her whole program and her whole attitude over there in Ware Shoals. You know, their elementary school was, what, a blue ribbon school?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And their high school received another award and everything. Mm-hmm. And yet they don't have all the bells and whistles over there.
You know, Ware Shoals is great. It's a smaller district, you know, small schools and everything, and sort of like a community school. Mm-hmm. And when you have that, you have more parental involvement. The people think they are part of that school, you know, when you just have maybe one or two elementary, one middle and one high school, and they are small. You have the community coming together to support it, because they figure it's a lot community. It's right here in our community, not spread out, you know, and everything. And they are willing to work together. And just like you said, Faye, you know, she wanted more jobs. You know, if you get more jobs, she can probably decrease the size of the classes and everything, right?
Sure.
You know, and have more impact and everything, you know. So it's all about, you know, what we want to do to educate our kids.
Our kids and also our adults, because we have a huge population that needs to go back to school to be educated for the type of jobs that are out there today.
Exactly. And I really commend our tech school here and adult ed program that we're having, because they are educating those adults to meet the needs of the jobs, you know, because there are certain skills now, because most of the jobs you have, they're high-tech.
Right.
So you got to be trained to operate the high-tech machinery, you know, that we have. And the thing about it, you can get good jobs. You know, if you go through the tech program, go through some of the various careers that they have out there, you can get a good job, you know, and everything. In the plants now to make, I know, I think it's ZF over in Gray Court.
Mm-hmm.
I hear they are constantly hiring people, you know, and everything. They have a good training program. And I hear $20 or $21 an hour. That's a good salary.
That is
living
a good
here
salary.
And everything. You know, it's not that far, but you got to be trained for those jobs and everything. And the main thing is you got to be prepared. And I encourage our young people, and what I hear a lot of people say, you know, a lot of reasons people not getting jobs, they can't pass the drug test.
And that's sad.
That really is,
that is sad,
you know.
Yeah.
What are your priorities? You know, do you want a job or you want to just, you know, not
vegetate.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we got to educate our young people. Hey, you got to give up something if you want something. You know, let's put our priorities in the right perspective. But Piedmont Tech does an excellent job, and the thing about it, how Ray Brooks and that group have expanded to have the satellite programs out. I know a few months ago was over in Abbeville, opened that new building over there, the satellite center there, because, you know, we don't think about it. We got two or three cars, but everyone still don't have a car. And I think when you can have satellite programs in each county, that makes it easier for a lot of those people don't have cars to be able to get to the centers to get training where they can get a good job and get a car.
Sure. And, you know, the thing about the tech schools, they're putting you to work right away.
Yes.
I mean, you're doing a skill. You know, it used to always be, what did we think? We had to have that four-year degree.
You know, I've known a lot of people got went and got the four-year degrees and come back and go to tech and get
skilled
to get a good job, you know, and everything. So, you know, it's good to have that four-year degree for certain jobs, but then there are certain things you can do with a two-year degree to earn a good living, you know. You just think, you know, I know welders make good money, auto mechanics make good money, you think about beauticians, barbers, you know. And this mechatronics program to start,
that's huge.
Yeah. I know some people make six figures, you know, in the mechatronics, you know, those very high tech. And you can go and get that job with a two-year certificate program through the tech system.
And, you know, I think the other thing is you can take that job anywhere.
Anywhere, that's right, that's right. You know, and so, because all of them now are high tech and everything, and that will get you a good job, you know.
So. These are the things you got to look at in today's world. Hey, I am here with Senator Floyd Nicholson. We're having a good time talking about a lot of different things. We got more to talk about. Hey, though, if you've got a question, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Layaway. We've done it for over 30 years here at Sharp Facets Gallery. So whether it's Christmas, a birthday, an anniversary, or just because, we know layaway every day. Come see us today at Sharp Facets Gallery. Need more info? Call us, 229-6613. That's 229-6613.
Oh, that's right, 4:51 in the afternoon. We are here with the one and only Floyd Nicholson. You know, you may remember he was the mayor of Greenwood. What do you think about the status of Greenwood? I tell you what, it keeps growing and growing and growing. This is the 14th annual Festival of Discovery and Blues Cruise was last week. The Topiaries, unbelievable, isn't it?
Just unbelievable. You know, I ride in the Topiaries and look at the Blues Festival, how it's grown. And it just goes to show you, you know, when you work together, support the projects in the community, you can have great projects and everything. And I was up there Friday night to about 11:30. I went up Saturday afternoon, and it was just amazing how everyone was out having a great time, and I didn't see any disturbances or anything. And it just goes to show you, you know, how we are pulling together as a community to do things that are good, family-oriented, and how we can go about it and do it and have a great time and support our community.
You know, though, Floyd, let's see, you have not been mayor for how many years now?
Six years.
So did you ever think when you were back there as mayor that it would grow to what it has grown to today?
I never imagined, you know, when it started that, the Festival of Discovery, and I said, oh, it'll be fine. But I tell you what really did it, when they closed down Main Street.
Yeah.
You know, and just had everything in that one area because it wasn't divided on one side and everything. When you close that down and everything, and it's great. And I heard the people with the Kansas City, the judging team, say it's one of the best festivals in the Southeast.
How about that?
One of the best in the South. And I think this year had 90 teams and everything. And I heard some of the other fellas, wow, we had 26 or 30 teams, you know. But 90 teams, it just goes to show you. See, groups from Oklahoma. I was talking to a fella, a judge, the other night, and he was from upper parts of Georgia. He said he go around and judge. He said when they retired, they bought them a camper, a pull behind. And he said they'd be gone 5 and 6 months. In the summer, but they always look forward to coming to Greenwood these past few years because, you know, the hospitality and how that program really has grown, and it's a great program.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's just you got to keep, I guess, plugging away at it and just trying to improve and improve. And they certainly have in Uptown Greenwood.
They've done a great job. Mayor Wilman Adams, his staff there and everything, and the Festival of Flowers. And the thing about it, it was great this year. And, you know, Park City was not participating.
Right.
But the Topers and everything, they were amazing. Our people are up to Uptown, looking at them and everything. It's just amazing, you know, and gets everybody in the mood to know you had the festival, and then you had the Festival Flowers, and then you had the Festival Discovery that go along. And it's just amazing, you know, how Greenwood has gotten such recognition from the Festival Flowers and the Festival Discovery.
Absolutely. Now, so this year is over as far as having to go down there to Columbia and work and everything. What are some of the things that are going to be coming back around? I mean, I know some things you ran out of time. Some things get tabled and have to be brought up again, but some things go right off with the get-go once y'all are back in session next year. What are some of the things maybe that you're looking forward to tackling?
Well, one thing, you know, it being a two-year cycle and everything, and this was the second year, so really everything's off the table, have to be brought back up and everything,
okay.
You know, so...
Oh, okay, because it'll be a new term. Right,
new term coming in. So, you know, all of that didn't get through. It's going to have to be brought back up and everything, you know.
So what do you think are going to be some of the hot buttons, besides the gas tax and what to do with the roads?
Gas tax, road, and second will probably be gas tax, roads. And the third thing will probably be roads and gas tax.
Oh, changing it up a little bit.
Yes, yes. Because, you know, everywhere you go, that's the hottest topic. And until we're willing to sit down and bite the bullet, it's going to get worse. And that's going to be the top topic coming up next year. Just like the governor just said, she has a plan, but she's not going to unveil it till, you know, a general assembly come in, you know, if she's there and everything. So that's going to be the main issue. What are we going to do? Are we ready to stop talking about it and take some action? Or we still just want to talk and coast along and let them get worse and worse?
You know, one of the things that I know it's a political ploy to have this plan that I'm going to show you after I'm reelected. Do you think the governor has a plan?
I really don't know.
You don't know?
I really don't know, you know, because, you know, if you come out and announce you got a plan, people want to know it, you know. Just like I say, and I have a gift for you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give it to you today.
Till after Christmas.
Right.
Yeah, see if you've been naughty or nice, Ann.
You know,
yeah.
If you say you have something, people want to know what it is.
Sure.
You know? So, you know, I really don't know. But I know that's going to be the main issue coming up. And I'll tell you another issue that we're really going to have to deal with, too, is funding for our educational system, K through 12 and higher ed, you know, for our tech system and for four-year institutions. Because every time you listen around, you talk about how much these kids go to four-year institutions, how much they're coming out in debt, you know. And that's a loan. You got to pay that back. And a lot of them don't get jobs, you know, and they're talking about how many are defaulting on loan. I think we got to do a better job of helping our kids go continue their education.
You know, one of the things that, of course, was another hot topic was school choice. School choice. Mm-hmm. What do you think about school choice? Should the dollars follow the child, or should the dollars go to the school?
You know, in the Constitution, they say we have to provide for public education, funding for public education.
Okay.
If it's a public school choice, I think the dollars should go with if it's public.
Okay.
You know,
so we shouldn't allow a child that goes to private school to take those dollars to the private school.
No, because I think the Constitution said provide for a public education.
Okay. And what do you think about, you know, I think the problem with our school system is there are some school districts are very rich, I'll say, have a lot of dollars to work with, and some are very, very poor. But how do you equalize that across the whole state?
Well, the thing about it, you find out the rich school and the urban areas who have a great tax base to assist them and everything, you know, then the rural, they don't have the tax base. And I think it should be incumbent on the state to put additional funding into those schools, because those are kids coming out that are going to be challenging other students too. And so if they don't not have the technology and everything, they're going to be left behind. So I think it's incumbent upon the state to provide funding to those. You know, you go down to school, I think the new school they built out in Lexington, I think they said it was about $60
million. Wow.
And they say it is very high-tech and everything.
Sure.
You know, just like up at Dorman, they have great facilities. But they got revenue from where they sold the old Dorman High School, you know, the property there, to assist them with building the new school there and everything. So you have see revenue coming in the large urban areas, the tax base and everything, to assist them. But in rural areas, you know, you got farmland, nothing, don't have any tax base, and the only thing they basically have is what they get from the state. And I think it's incumbent that we be able to put additional dollars into those districts to make sure those kids have the same opportunity as anybody else.
Well, they also need to have quality teachers.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, we can have all the equipment in the world.
If you don't have quality teachers, you know, who are trained and who's going to give it their 100% to educate the kids, and that's the top priority. And the thing about it, you know, if you're not going to pay them, they're not going to want to go there.
Sure. Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. You know, you are listening here to WCRS right here in Greenwood. You know, I want to ask you one more question. You know, Mika Childs has been confirmed to be the COO
yes.
of John De La Howe.
Mm-hmm.
I think she'll do a terrific job down there.
You know, I don't know Mika personally. I know she called me at home to let me know that she was going to be down there, and I told her I was going to come down and meet her and everything. And I think she'll go and assist them to make sure that we get De La Howe back to the status that it was, and make sure, because De La Howe is much needed. You know, those kids are not juveniles. They have trouble, and we're trying to keep them from becoming juveniles and everything. So I think she'll go down and assist Dr. Webb down there in the staff, and she can add some together. And they got a good team, and they go down there and work together. They can bring De La Howe out and make it the school that it once was.
Well, I agree with that. I think having interviewed Mika Childs when she was running for superintendent of school, I liked her idea of competition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think one of the things that we always talk about is a level playing field,
yes.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like she said, even in a game of soccer or basketball where you're not keeping score, every child and every parent knows what the score is.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And I remember talking to her about a school in, I think it was in the Midwest or something, that canceled their awards day because not all the children were getting awards. What do you think
that's
of that,
great.
Floyd?
That's great.
You think that's great?
Yeah.
I think that's terrible, because what do we work for to be able to do things and to strive?
Let every kid be a success.
I think they should be a success, but they should also, you know, everyone has their special talent. Now, you may not, it may not get to be demonstrated at all levels,
mm-hmm.
right?
But
I think,
you know, I think that could be good in, say, elementary school or something. We want to make sure everybody have that positive outlook and everything, you know, just, okay, just give them something, you know, in elementary. But the older you get, you know, it's a little different and everything.
Well, the real world is nothing but competition, isn't it?
To a certain extent,
when
yes.
you get out there in the real world, you've got to compete for your job. You've
yeah.
got to do a good job. You can't just get
yeah.
by.
But, you know, it's not always the level playing ground.
That's true. That's true. Absolutely. That's what I'm talking about. So, but I think Mika will bring a spirit of cooperation and teamwork
yes.
to down there and make a big
mm-hmm.
difference.
I think she will, too. She have a lot to assist the program down there, good educational background and everything, you know. And I think she can provide some assistance down there that they need and, like I say, assist them and get them back to where they used to be. Because I know when I worked in the school system, kids used to be sent down there and come back, and, hey, they were on track.
That's right. And I think that's great.
It is.
And some kids need that little extra.
They
and
do.
Some children coming from homes where they don't have it all together,
that's
they
that
need
structure.
That extra. Yep.
You need that structure and that discipline.
Absolutely.
You need it and start early.
All right. Well, we have had Senator Floyd Nicholson here with us this afternoon. As always, I certainly sit down enjoying having a little spirited conversation here, Floyd.
And I always enjoy being on your program. In fact, when I got the call a couple of weeks ago, I celebrated. And really, last night, I couldn't sleep. I was so excited about coming on the program today.
Oh, jeez.
I wake up every 30 minutes, look at the clock, and see if it was time
if
to get up.
If it's time to get up.
And maybe 100, go back to sleep. It's not time to go get up yet. But, Ann, it's always great to be on your program. And I just commend you for the great job that you do in providing local news on the local level, what's going on here in our area, our state, and our nation. And just like I said, you've been nominated again for a top award. And I wish you well. And I know that you will receive great accolades for everything you do.
Thank you very much, Floyd. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.